We're going to be in Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Well, the Lord has blessed us with some rain today. So we're thankful for that. Maybe we'll have a green spring coming this spring. Sure hope so. It doesn't always work out that way every year. But hopefully we will this year. Going to look at all of the chapter in Psalm 146. And going to preach tonight on this thought about living your life to praise the Lord. Living your life to praise the Lord. We're getting down to the end of the book of Psalms, and this is the theme of the book, or the theme of towards the end of the psalm is praising the Lord. And that is the theme of Psalm 146. He says in verse number 2, he says, "While I live, I will praise the Lord." He says, "I will praise God while I have any being." So he says, my whole life is going to be spent from here on out just praising the Lord. He's going to do that with his entire life. You committed to that this evening? Are you committed to praising the Lord with your life? I surely hope so. That ought to be something that we all strive for as Christians, is to praise God in everything. So before we read the passage, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for all that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. We thank you for the wonderful rain that you've given to us and blessed us with. Father, I pray that you'd help us in these next few minutes to give attention to your word and what you have to say in your word. Lord, help us to be strengthened and edified and built up in the faith, and we'll thank you for it. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 146. Psalm 146. He says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord." If we were to take a catalog of all of your words and my words since we were born, what would they reveal? What would they communicate? I'm sure that they would reveal a variety of expressions that the human capacity has, events in our lives and the loves and the hates and the disappointments and the joys of our life. I'm sure that it would reveal all of those. But what will you do with your life? How will you spend your days? How are you going to spend your energy? What are you going to love with your life? What are you going to give your praise to? How are you going to spend it? Because life is short. You only have a set number of days. And by the way, the Lord knows the number of your days. He knows how long your lifespan is. And it's very important how we spend our days and what we do with our time. The psalmist recognizes this. He says, "While I live, He says, well, life, there's brevity to life and there's shortness to life. I'm not going to live forever. One of these days I'm going to pass this life and I'm going to die and they're going to put me in a grave and I will not be able to praise God anymore. And he says, while I live throughout this life and with my life, I'm going to praise God. I am making a commitment to the Lord that I will praise the Lord with all of my being. Verse number one says, oh, my soul, with deep down in my heart and in my very, the core of my being, I will praise the Lord. It makes a difference how we spend our lives and what we dedicate our lives to and what we will do with our lives and our words and our hearts and our affections. All of those things matter. And I'm sure if each and every one of us looked back in our life and we saw what it looked like and we could have a snapshot of our life, we'd see some segments in our life that, well, we didn't praise God like we ought to. We didn't spend our life or trust God like we should have. Every one of us are going to have that, and there'll be periods in our life where we just didn't do what we were supposed to do. It doesn't have to be that way, but many times it is. He says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help, in verse number 3. I bet you many times we tend to put our trust in perhaps the government, something like that, or maybe some kind of government official or a president or something like that. We look to him as our Savior instead of God. But the psalmist says, don't put your trust in that. Don't put your trust in the government. Don't put your trust in princes. Now, many times we tend to do that, but we cannot do that because there is no help. He gives us a clear contrast between why we shouldn't do that, between the God of Jacob and the earthly rulers. We can't put our trust in that. There's always going to be earthly princes and governments, but we cannot replace God with those institutions. I mean, many times we look at liberals and say, well, they're the ones that are replacing God. But many times I think conservatives could do the same thing as well if we don't watch it. But why not put our trust in earthly princes? Why can't we? What's wrong with that? Well, for one thing, they're temporary. They're not going to last forever. One of these days, they're all going to be dissolved. I mean, I love the good old United States of America, but the United States of America is going to be dissolved one of these days. One of these days, there's not going to be America. One of these days, we're not going to have the presidents and all of that, and it will just be a big memory. They are temporary. Amen. They are fallible as well. Amen. I mean, even the best presidents have things that they do wrong. They have weaknesses. They have places that they're going to fail. And if you go around putting your faith in them all of the time, you're going to come away disappointed. You're going to find some things about them that you don't like and you wish they wouldn't have done. And they are a sinner just like you are and I are. And they have no true health, but we must put our trust in the God and make sure it's the God of Jacob. It's not any other God. It's not the God of the Hindus or the God of the Muslims or the other gods. No, it is the God that acts in history. It is the God that actually does something. The one that actually gives you His word and actually keeps His promises. He is the true God. All of the other gods are false gods. There is only one true God. I am a monotheist. I believe there is only one God, not many gods. And His reign extends to all things, unlike earthly princes. It extends to time. He says in verse number 6, He says, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in it there is, which keepeth truth for how long? Forever. His reign extends throughout all of time. He is called the beginning and the ending. He is called the first and the last. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning of time and the end of time. He created time. His reign extends through time. And it also extends through space. He made the heavens in verse number 6. It also extends through everything, all matter. time, space, matter, all of those things. It says he made the heavens and the earth. Kind of reminds you of Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. There you have the beginning of time, space, and matter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, and there's absolutely nothing that is outside of the rule of God. Absolutely nothing. It's a spiritual as well as a physical reign. The Bible says here, he says he keeps truth. And so how do we explain a God like that? How do we get to know a God like that? How do we praise a God like that? A God that is that big and that wonderful and that powerful. I've got three reasons this evening why God deserves all of your praise for all of your life. Don't ever give up. Don't ever stop praising the Lord. The first one is his creative acts. He made all things, verse number 6, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them therein is. The reason why we ought to praise God with all of your life, because the very air that you breathe, the very strength that you have in your body, the mobility that you have, it all comes from God. He made everything. All things were created by him and for him. We are here for his good pleasure, not for ours, but for the Lord's. It is to honor and to glorify God. That is why he made all things. You think about a planet that God made that is able to be inhabited. No other planet is that way. And God made all of it. Boy, it's just amazing. It's an absolute impossibility for the earth and all of creation to have gotten here without the supernatural creative act of God. There is no other way. It had to be something that came from God. Something cannot come from nothing. You can't. Yeah, well, you say, well, yeah, but what about the Big Bang? I mean, everything started with a Big Bang. There was a Big Bang, big explosion, and all of a sudden, here comes all the planets, and everything just started kind of working real good and intricately, and man, it was just a Big Bang. Well, what about the Big Bang? Where did the Big Bang come from? You always got to trace it back to, it's always got to go back to God. It always has to go back to God. And the Bible just lays it out flat right before us. It doesn't try to prove the existence of God. It just says that there is a God. Why? Because that's what it is. And so everything has a cause and everything has an effect. It's called the law of cause and effect. And by the way, there is no law of cause and effect if there is no God, because God is the cause of the law of cause and effect. All of the laws have to come from a lawgiver. I mean, you don't just start having laws without something starting that. And there's the law of cause and effect. Every action has a reaction or a consequence. You reap what you sow. God put that law into effect. It didn't just happen. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Now, I want you to think about how great and how big and how grand this universe is that we see. You have the earth, then you have the planets, then you have the stars and all of the moon, everything, all of that. You look at it, and something caused all of that. How big do you think that was? I mean, if you're believing in a Big Bang, that had to be an awfully big bang. But we have a God who started all of this, and this is the God that we worship. Think of the cause that created the effect that we are now seeing. Wow, what an awesome God that we serve. We cannot fathom his greatness in creation. That's why we ought to worship him, because of his greatness, and we can't fathom it. Solomon was going to build a temple for this great God, Jehovah, and he says, how am I going to build a temple for a God that fills heaven and earth? Will the God of the universe actually dwell on the earth in a temple? I don't know if I can fathom that or not. Boy, what a great God that we serve. And then we can't hide from this greatness. We can't run away from God. People try all of the time. They say, well, I'll get away from God. I'll hide from God. This God that fills heaven and earth. You're not going to run from God. You're not going to be able to get away from God. Jeremiah chapter 23 says Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord? And am I not a God that's far off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Don't ever try to run from God. Don't ever try to hide from God. Don't ever try to think that you can hide your sin from God. God is too awesome and he is too great. Now the Apostle John wrote about men in the last days that would try to hide from God and try to run from God. They'd be running to the hills and trying to get away from God, and they're going to hide in the mountains and say, rocks fall upon us and hide us from the face of him who's coming with wrath and with judgment from the Lamb of the God, of the great God. They can't hide. No one can hide from God. Why? Because he fills heaven and earth. You try to go down to the bottom of the ocean, get the biggest submarine you can and go all the way down to the bottom of the ocean. See if you can hide from God. He's still there. Men go to college and try to educate themselves out of the knowledge of God. Say, well, I'll get smart enough to where I just won't believe in God anymore, and there he won't bother me anymore. They try to educate themselves out of God, but guess what? God deals with the hearts of men. God deals with the consciences of men. And it doesn't matter how hard that you try, you can't educate yourself out of the knowledge of God. God is too big to hide from. His presence is all pervasive. Doesn't matter where you go. You can hide from the police, and you can hide from the judge, and you can hide from other people, but you're not going to hide from God. God's going to find you one of these days. So we must praise him for his greatness in creation. And so many people, boy, they don't want to praise the Lord for his creation. We forget about that sometimes. We forget about the vastness of his creation and the greatness of his creation. But Job said, hey, why don't you go and talk to the birds? Why don't you go and talk to the fish of the sea? Why don't you go and talk to the horses or one of his creatures and they'll tell you. Just search them out. See how intricate their bodies are. See how they live, and they'll tell you, God has made all of these things. He's the one that made everything. But yet the educated of our society try to say that we all came from some kind of fish or something like that. No, God made everything. Psalmist said in Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7, he says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Why? Boy, they praise God all of the time for God's great, vast, wonderful creation. They say, man, he made everything. You ever go and look at a beautiful waterfall before? You ever seen a beautiful sunset in New Mexico? You ever looked and went and looked at the beautiful mountains? You ever looked and looked over the vast ocean and seen the beauty of God's creation? You think, man, God did all of this? You ever sat out at night and looked up at the stars, looked at the moon, and saw all of the creation that God has made? He did all of that. He made all of that. And he gave it to us so that we can enjoy. Man, wouldn't it be horrible if you would have made a planet that was uninhabitable and we had to really try to adapt ourselves to this planet? We don't have to do that. We can move right in. It's move-in ready. Amen. Move-in ready. Beautiful. Already decorated. Already decorated. Let us praise God for his creation. But so many times, men do not praise the Lord for his creation. Instead, they try to change or deny or repress the creative acts of God in creation. They say, oh no, this all happened by accident. Somehow this all just kind of came into place. You know, what would you think about a man who would come up to a building and look at a building and say, well, I wonder how that happened. This building must have came into existence accidentally. Boy, they got running water, electricity, light switches, windows, doors. Must have took a long time for all of that to come together and make a building. That's about as foolish as saying all of this came about accidentally, and they try to repress the truth, try to deny the truth. But let me tell you something here this evening. Our God is a great God because he has enduring truth. Boy, he's going to keep the truth. It's going to keep going on. It says in verse number 6 that our God keeps truth forever. I don't care how much men try to deny it. Amen. Truth is going to keep on going on no matter what. What does it mean to keep? To keep means to hedge about as with thorns. That is, guard, to protect, to observe, preserve, reserve, save. The Bible tells us over and over and over again that His truth will endure forever. It's not going to stop. It's not going to go away. Psalm 100 says, His truth endureth to all generations. There's nothing that's going to thwart or overthrow the truth. You can try and stomp out the Bible. You can try and burn it. You can try and get it out of existence. You can try and get rid of Christians. His truth is going to endure. Human beings have been trying to deny and suppress that truth of God for millennia, generation after generation, trying to think that they can get rid of the things that God has put into their chests, into their minds. Read about this in Romans chapter number 1. It gives us several examples of what people do with the truth of God. First thing they try to do is hold the truth in unrighteousness. They say, well, God is not real, and I don't have to obey God, and I don't have to listen to God. And they hold, the Bible says in Romans 1:18, they hold the truth in unrighteousness, but what may be known of God is manifested in them. It's on the inside of them because God has showed it to them. But they say, no, it's not real. There is no right and wrong. They hold it on the inside of themselves and say, we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to let that kind of truth out. You ever, as a kid, maybe you went swimming in a swimming pool, or maybe you went to the beach or something like that, and you had a big old beach ball stick with you? You ever try to take that beach ball and hold it down under the water? Boy, you push it down and you try to hold that thing down and balance on it because you want to keep that beach ball down under the water. Well, that beach ball wants to keep on coming up, doesn't it? Wants to keep on popping up out of the water. Do you know what? That's what people do with truth a lot. They don't want to accept it, and they don't want to believe it, and so they push it down under the water. They say, no, it's not real, but the whole time that truth is wanting to pop up. It's wanting to come up. You know why? Because we all have a conscience. We all have the truth of God on the inside of us. They try to hold it away. Say, no, it's not real. There is no responsibility to God. You know what else they try to do with the truth? They try to change the truth. Change it. They say, no, God is actually in creation, and He is creation. God is actually the trees. God is actually the planets and the stars and the moon. So we will worship the stars and the moon and the trees and creation. They change the truth of God into a lie, and they say, no, you are actually God. We are all God. And so all truth is relative, and there is no absolute truth. And so my truth is my truth, and your truth is your truth, and there is no real truth. And so we can go on our happy way, try to change the truth of God into a lie. No, God is distinct from His creation. God is not the creation. God is a real God. He's a real entity, and you're not going to have to stand before a tree one of these days and give an account of your actions to the Lord. No, He's real. He's real, and He demands justice. The truth of God is kept by God. It endures, and it doesn't matter what man tries to do. Doesn't matter if you don't believe it or not. Unbelief does not negate the truth that is there. You can say you don't believe it all you want to all day long, but it doesn't matter. Truth is truth. And there's the Lord Jesus Christ coming down to this earth, and He comes to the Jews, and He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. What happened? They looked Him right in His face, and they said, no, you're not. We don't believe that. We're fine with dismissing the truth. And Paul the Apostle wrote, and he says, well, what if some did not believe? Will that make the faith of God without effect? Does that mean that the truth of God does not go on anymore? Does that mean that God is not going to be faithful to His promises? Does that what that means? No. No. You know what it does? It just establishes the truth. Because they had to reap the consequences of their ridiculous assertions. Denying the truth. Did you know that every unbelieving denier of truth is a giant monument to the truth of God? That's what they are. Because the very thing that they denied judges them in the end. And they're not going to get away with that. Our unbelief does not negate the truth of God, and we ought to praise God for His enduring truth. It's going to go on. It's going to go on. It doesn't matter whether you and I believe it or not. It doesn't matter whether you and I decide to disobey the truth. And say, we'll go our own way. We'll do our own thing. And ha, see, we got one over on you, God. You're not going to tell us what to do. No, you're going to have to reap the consequences. What about culture? What if culture says, well, the truth is not the truth anymore? Does the truth of God keep going on? Is it going to continue on? Yes, it is. It is. The only thing that culture is doing is they're just showing their foolishness and their ignorance. The culture does not negate the truth of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Everything that God said would come to pass is going to come to pass or has come to pass. Doesn't matter what people say. And we can praise God for all of our lives because we have the enduring truth of God. Lastly, we must praise the Lord all of our days. Why? Because of His mercy in the earth. We say that in verses 7 to 9. Do you know that God pays attention to people who are downtrodden, people who are hurting, and He has mercy upon them? Verses 7 to 9 says that God executes judgment for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. He looses the prisoners. He opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord preserves the strangers. The Lord relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the wicked, what does he do? He turns upside down. What about those that are out on the margins? What about those that are downtrodden? What about those who are unsuspecting and forgotten in society? Does God care about them? He most certainly does. He most certainly does. You know, we can praise God all of our days, because He has not forgotten about those people. He regards those who are less fortunate in this world, and He has mercy upon them. The oppressed, the hungry, the prisoners, the blind, the bowed down, all of those people. And then God deals with the wicked as well. Did you notice that there is everything and everyone is inside the scope of God? He hasn't forgotten about anyone. He takes care of all of them, even the wicked. How about those that are on the top, those that try to exploit other people up here? Those that try to exploit the weaknesses of others. They're not going to get away with that. God is going to take care of them. The Bible says that He turns them upside down. Do you know one of these days there's going to be a lot of powerful people in hell? There's going to be a lot of important people in hell. A lot of people who did a lot of bad things to a lot of people. And boy, they were important at one time in their life. They did a lot of bad things to unsuspecting people, but they're not going to be very important one of these days when they stand before God. They're going to have to give an account of all of those. God notices everything. That's something to praise God about forever. You know, I think about some of the highest grossing films of all times. And they depict a superhero coming to the rescue of the oppressed and the helpless. You think about Superman. What does he do? Well, he comes and rescues the damsel in distress. What about Spider-Man? Well, he comes to the downtrodden of society, those who have been forgotten. How do we come up with all those things? Do we just think those kind of things up? No, there's something within us as humans that knows that there's others who are less fortunate than we are that we want to help. You know why? Well, we were made in the image of God. Those are things that are just coming out in our nature. So maybe you're one of those people. I don't know. Maybe you find yourself on the bottom half of society. Maybe you feel like you're the one on the bottom. I'd encourage you tonight that You have not been forgotten by God. God did not promise Christians fame and riches and all of that. He didn't promise us all of that. You know what God promised us? God promised us a cross to bear. God promised us that the world would hate us. God didn't promise us $1 million. You read Lord Jesus Christ and His words in the Sermon on the Mount, and He doesn't say, blessed are those who have $1 million in the bank. Blessed are those who are the presidents. Blessed are those who are the rich and famous. He doesn't use language like that. No, He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are when men shall revile you and persecute you. He's saying, hey, that's the way that it ought to be. It's too bad that most of professing Christianity doesn't believe that today. Go ahead and flip on TBN and see what kind of message you get. Yeah. They are the biggest, well, I was going to say kooks, but they are the biggest Christian organization out there that put Christian media out there, TBN. Where their message was, hey, send me $1,000 and God will give you back $1 million. God will make you rich. There's something wrong with you if you have sickness or something like that. You don't have enough faith. Release your faith. Something like that. Listen to Paula White and Joel Osteen. That's the kind of message that they have. And by the way, Paula White is our president's spiritual advisor. That'll make everybody happy. I was watching a video the other day where she said she actually went to the throne room of heaven and saw the face of God. And everyone in her audience was eating it up like she really went there. She couldn't see Him really clear, but she could see Him. And she described it in detail. She has been there. And the message that they give is, hey, you know, there's no Christian that should be, you know, persecuted or anything like that. You ought to really, you know, be on top of your game. There's something wrong with you if you're not out there in the upper echelon of society. That's not the Christian message. There's a bunch of quacks is what they are. Amen. A bunch of thieves. Thieves. I wouldn't give them $1. Amen. I wouldn't give them $1. What do they say? Well, they say, realize your potential. Recognize your greatness. Unleash your faith. Speak your reality. The power of positive thinking. Confess your greatness. Yes, that's the new Christian message. Christians are supposed to be millionaires. He didn't have any kind of weaknesses. You want to make some confessions, you ought to confess what the Bible says. Amen. Confess what the Word of God has to say. That we are fallen creatures and we are in need of salvation. And that we are loved by God. And you're fixing to run into some trouble if you start following the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that our Savior did not have a place to lay His head, but yet we have Christians who live in multi-million dollar houses paid for by their followers who are living in little shacks, who are giving up all of their health and all of their money to these people? It's awful. It's awful. God takes note of those who are weak and those who are feeble. Those who everyone else has forgotten about, God remembers those. That's the reason why that we should praise God. He has not forgotten about those people. He's a great God. We should praise Him all of our lives, with all of our life. So let it never be said of us that we don't praise the Lord. While we have any being upon this earth, we should praise the Lord. I'd encourage you tonight, do not let years of your life go by without praising the Lord. Don't let days of your life go by without praising the Lord. Praise God in everything. Don't divide your loyalty. Give all of your heart to God. Don't try to compartmentalize your praising the Lord. Praise Him in everything. Hey, praising God is not just for Sunday mornings. Praising God is for every day of the week. Praising God is for every situation of life. Yeah. praise God with all of your life. Let us praise God in word and deed to an unbelieving world that does not believe what we have to say. Praise God anyway. Praise Him anyway. Why? Because He deserves it. He deserves it. Every bit of it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.